Hey guys, welcome to the DSJNP podcast. This is the WrestleCast for this week. It's a little late in the week. We're going to probably drop another one around Tuesday or Wednesday. Whether or not, sorry about it being late. Nothing we could do. Schedule, arranging, people doing different things. People preparing for weddings and whatnot. Anyway, if you can follow us on DSJNP.com at Twitter. Email us at DSJNP@gmail.com or Facebook/DSJNP. Please and thank you for subscribing and listening, and please share us if you like us. T.I. Peeps, I appreciate all the help, guys. Bye. Welcome to the DSJNP podcast. This is the Wrestling Cast. It's a little late in the week, but what you gonna do when you got a real life to go to? So I'm gonna be joined by Matt and Exodus soon coming up, but I got some news first before I hit them up. All right, so the NXT Arrival show aired on the WWE Network. It was awesome. It was great. Cesaro versus Sami Zayn was one of the best matches I have seen in years. No kidding, years. It was a great match. Mojo versus CJ, get hype Parker. Mojo, I don't understand where they're going with him and CJ, get hype Parker. All he does is say, get hyped, he's not hyped, get hyped son, get hyped. I don't care. I don't give a shit. I don't care. Ascension versus Too Cool. Ascension needs to ascend to the WWE and move away from NXT so that the rest of the tag teams in the NXT can move on and get better. Too Cool coming back from their 10-year hiatus from the WWE. I don't know where they came from, but whatever. It was a lot of fun. Ascension won, of course. By the way, Cesaro versus Sami Zayn. Cesaro won. Sami Zayn and Cesaro hugged afterwards. The crowd said, hug it out, hug it out, hug it out. It was actually really cool. Sami Zayn ended up crying afterwards. It was really cool. It was a great, it was a really good match. Paige versus Emma. This was a awesome match. This match was so freaking good. A Divas match that was good. A Divas match that had a power bomb in it, if you can believe that. Back from the Sable Bomb. All right? Had a power bomb in it. They had an ton of great, great, awesome moves in this match. If you haven't seen it, you have to see this match. Watch it on YouTube. Watch it on the WWE Network. You have to see it. It was a great match. It made the Raw, the WWE Divas look like a joke. Last match, main event of the night, Adrian Neville versus Bo Dallas for the NXT Championship. A ladder match. It was an okay ladder match. It wasn't one of my favorite ladder matches, but it wasn't the worst ladder match I've ever seen in the whole wide world, so what are you going to do? Adrian Neville won. Paige won on the earlier match. I'm not good on this play-by-play. I have to work on this. Couple more things in the news. WWE Main Event Live this past week on Tuesday was a test for the live streaming. One of many probably to come before WrestleMania. We're probably going to see a lot of test streams here. It was okay. I had a couple interruptions on it. It wasn't a perfect stream by any means whatsoever, but they are getting better. The WWE app is, the Xbox app is still having some issues, but other than that, most of it's working. You still can't see this in any of the WCW pay-per-views yet, and you still can't select years on a couple of pay-per-views. But other than that, it's actually pretty good. I love watching live stuff on it. I watched the new countdown on it. We'll be talking about that later. The new countdown episode is entrances. So once I get Matt and Exodus on here, I will be able to ask them about who their favorite entrances are. During the pre-show for Monday Night Raw, the Bellas actually had a little promo. It wasn't really a promo. It was like a cut scene thing letting us know when the second screen experience started. I thought that was super, super cool. I thought it was really cool that it told us, hey, your second screen experience is starting now. Please bring out your please bring out your phones. I thought it was really cool. Also, the other thing in the pre-show that was really neat was that they had main event. They had Superstars in the background. Superstars, the show, Superstars playing in the background. So we got to see some matches from Superstars actually in the background of everyone commentary. So that was pretty good. I actually enjoyed I enjoyed the pre-show quite a bit. I'm not sure what else there is that they could do. I know they could do a lot. I think they need to put out anything. They need to bring out Matt Stryker a little bit more. They need to get rid of a couple of the other wrestlers, and I think they need to make it more of a on-the-spot thing rather than a let's talk about this, let's talk about that. I think they just need to let them go. It's the same thing. I think that they need to let the wrestlers do their own promos. They don't need to write, script anything, and they're scripting everything now. All right, saying that, news is over. Let me bring on Matt and Exodus joining me this week. I know it took us a while, guys, but here we are. We are back. It's Sunday night. It's a little late. But what are you going to do? Monday Night Raw is tomorrow. We'll do better. We'll do better next week. If I can't get both of them, I'll get one of them on Wednesday or Tuesday of this coming week. So welcome to the show, guys. How are you guys feeling?
We're good. Good, man. Thanks for having us back.
Yeah, man. You guys been busy this week? You guys been watching a lot of NXT or TNA or Raw or what? What you guys been watching? UFC?
We did watch Raw, and we usually fall asleep during TNA.
Well, I know Matt was watching TNA because I called him when he was watching it. We were talking for a little bit. So what do you what'd you think, Matt, TNA?
I get really, really drunk before I start watching it. Like, I drink like a 64-ounce margarita, and then that's the only way I can watch it.
Now, there's been a couple of rumors that the NXT Arrival show took a lot of ratings away from the TNA Thursday night. What do you guys think about that?
It doesn't surprise me, actually, that they would, just because TNA's product is suffering right now, at least just from the looks of it. You know, and I think back to about 2010, when TNA was really trying hard, and they brought in Hogan and Bischoff, and they were trying to, like do the whole WCW versus WWE thing all over again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was all these surprises, and you had Jeff Hardy. You had Hogan show up. Everybody already knew that. And then Jeff Hardy and RVD and all these former stars, you know, and I was like, wow, they're really trying hard. And they had already had Sting in there, and they had Angle and things like that. And the Flair ended up coming in, and there was one point where it was just like this mass of all the superstars and familiar faces, but that is not there right now. Their roster is small, man. There's probably more people in one of Matt Domino's pizza stores than there is on those rosters on the roster for TNA right now.
Yeah, their roster is very small right now. They've cut a lot of people. They've cut a lot of dead weight. They've cut a lot of excess weight to their roster. They're trying to cut down on the amount of money they're spending because they're losing money. They're still working on their Spike TV contract, so they're still waiting for that money to come through. They're struggling. I've heard nothing but good things about their show lately. I've heard it all has something to do with storylines. Now, there's nothing that doesn't have any type of storyline attached to it. I've heard really good things about it. The only thing is that I'm going to watch NXT. I'm not going to watch TNA. I don't have any inclination to watch TNA whatsoever. I just don't. I don't care. I just don't care about it. I really don't. I'd rather watch UFC, or I'd rather watch NXT, or I'd rather watch the WWE Network. I would rather watch anything else except for that. Matt, what do you think? You watch it. What do you think?
I watch it because there's nothing else on right now. Normally, I'd be watching NFL on Thursdays. So, there's really not. I can watch that, or I can watch a movie, but
if you guys had the WWE Network, would you watch NXT?
Probably.
Yeah, you'd watch NXT instead of TNA, wouldn't you?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, more than likely.
Yeah. The reason why I started watching NXT is because I got my Hulu Plus, because I kept missing Raw on Monday night, and I wanted to watch Raw. And a lot of my buddies at work kept telling me how good NXT was. And I was like, you know, I don't know. It's the minor leagues, blah, blah, blah. And I finally gave it a shot after they told me over and over again, you got to watch these guys. And these guys are legit. They are really good. I highly recommend NXT to you guys. If you guys get a chance to watch it, please, please take it into consideration and take a look at it. All right, so Monday Night Raw coming out. We have Jesse from Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad, or the new Need for Speed movie, which I'm really excited for because it's all of it's real cars. So I'm really excited for it. But the big thing about Raw this week was Chicago, and Chicago is the home of CM Punk. And there was a huge thing on Twitter going around, hashtag hijack Raw, hashtag we're going to, whenever Batista comes out or whenever Triple H comes out, we're going to stand up, we're going to turn around, and we're not going to face the ring. And if we don't like a match, we're going to stand up and turn around, and we're not going to do this, and we're not going to do that. Why in the world would you pay $200 to $75 to go somewhere and turn your back to it? Tell me, guys, why? Why would you do that?
I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, I couldn't tell you. Just to make a statement is the only thing I can think about, but they didn't do it. So I don't know why they would tweet it and hashtag it and say all this stuff about hijacking it when they didn't do it. They just talked about it.
Yeah, a lot of talk, no action, a lot of talk. So, Matt, tell us how Raw started out.
Well, let me start out with this. They do a show, the post-show and pre-show, just to get this right? Because I don't get it. I'll see on the app.
Okay.
That is when they sit there like Monday Night Football and have the table inside the crowd, and they go to different types of superstars and talk to them, correct?
Yes. Yeah, whoever's in the ring when they're recording superstars, whoever's in the ring, you don't really get to talk to them. However, this week was a little different because they're still getting used to this pre and post show. I don't usually watch the post show, but the pre show was really cool because they kind of transferred right into Raw from there. So,
okay.
The last match was Rybacksel versus the Olay guys. Who are those guys? I always forget their names. The Matadors, Los Matadores. And Los Matadores won, and King actually interviewed them on the rampway. Well, right after that, literally they stepped right into it, and they stepped right into Raw. And it was kind of neat where you actually got to see it. They do interview certain people, whoever's in the back or whatever's going on, they do get to interview them or whatever. But it's, yeah, essentially it's just like a Monday night Monday Night Football thing. You interview, see what's going on, what happened on Twitter, what happened on Friday Night SmackDown. They give you a rundown of things and see what's going on.
Okay, my point is they do it in the middle of Raw, right? They have a break where they go to this table and Josh
Matthews.
Yeah, he asked one superstar something, he asked another superstar something, and then there's only three of them up there. Okay, one was Booker T this year, one was this week, one was Axel, Jim Duggan,
and Big Show. I think, right?
No, it's, he was the Miz's protege.
Alex Riley.
Yeah, okay? So, this is like the third time I've seen this table, okay? I get the concept. They want to do it like ESPN does. ESPN has Monday Night Football, and a half an hour before that starts, they start the pre-show for it and go to this table where Stuart Scott is sitting there or another anchor is sitting there, and they go to the specialists and the specialists talk about it.
Yeah.
That is not at all what this is. They have Josh Matthews up there. I like him. They need to put a female up there. That blonde reporter that's in the back, they need to put her up there.
Renee.
Okay?
She does all the, when NXT is there, she does all the NXT, almost all the NXT interviews.
Okay. Well, and she needs to be on that desk.
Well, here's the
she
cool
needs to
thing.
Be on that desk. Booker T, she needs to be on that desk with Alex Riley, and she needs to be on that desk with The Miz. Those three have something to say. All the other superstars they put up there, you can tell they are way out of their element. It's just absolutely ridiculous for them to be up there. I mean, they had Hacksaw Jim Duggan. All he said was, "Oh!"
Yeah. Yeah, who? I think it was The Miz counting him, or somebody was counting him.
Yeah, I think that's
like,
Flair.
That's four. Flair, drunk as always.
Right. Yeah, he's usually about seven Mai Tais down by the time he gets on the desk.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous. If they want to do it, they need to set a budget up for it, have the same guys there for it, and just do it. They don't need to switch that stuff up back and forth when these guys have nothing to say.
Now I have. Now, what do you guys want to keep it on the whole commentary thing? What do you guys think about the King? You guys think it's time to go?
Where Jerry the King Lawler
yeah.
to go?
Yeah.
No, you know, I think the King's a staple. You know, a staple in commentary, and yeah, I think he was a little bit funnier. You know, during the Attitude Era and things like that, he was more random. But nah, I mean, I think, you know, he's not. It's not like he's getting old and senile and stuff like that. When you start saying weird stuff,
he messed up three names this week.
I mean, that happens every odd week, you know.
I'm just saying that a lot of people are talking about it. A lot of people are talking about he ain't got it no more. A lot of people are talking that they need to replace him.
Nah, they don't need to replace him. The three of them, JBL and Cole and King, I think it's a great trio right now. I think it works well. They have some awkward moments, which is funny. It keeps you listening to it, not blurring it out, but it's okay.
Now, the guy that I like to see on commentary, and they don't put on commentary, and I'm not sure why, is Matt Stryker. I love to see this guy on commentary.
You. Thank you, Matt Stryker.
Right, Exodus?
Hashtag best commentator ever.
Yes, I was watching Money in the Bank. I was watching Money in the Bank 2012 or 2011, and he was a commentary. He was great. He was so good at it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've went on and on over the years, you know, when we used to watch, before you hooked us back into it recently, but, you know, when I used to watch it 3 or 4 years ago, I would tell Matt all the time, I'm like, dude, Matt Stryker, he is that dude. And then you know how it goes in WWE, man. You make some stupid mistake. You sneeze on somebody's nachos, and then all of a sudden, you're not, you know, you make somebody mad and creative, and all of a sudden, you're in the back interviewing somebody and outside of a men's bathroom, you know. So,
I could definitely see him taking over for, like, JBL or The King. Or I don't think they're going to go back to a two-man commentary again on Raw. I don't think they are. I think they're going to keep it on three.
Yeah, I would much rather have him out there than JBL or Cole.
I agree.
I've never really liked Michael Cole. I'm not saying that he's bad at what he does. I just don't like his voice, really.
Do you know what his title is?
No.
The voice of the WWE.
I remember him saying that on Raw once.
No, he was introduced that when they did the WWE Network. He was introduced as the voice of the WWE.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing to actually be that. It's another thing to just kind of be called that. I really don't think he is. I think it's just a way to kind of, you know, make us feel like he is. You know, it's like WWE, like, hey, if we call him that long enough, people will consider him that, but sorry, I never will. I do not think Michael Cole is the voice of WWE. You know, if I would say anybody was at one point, I would say it was JR.
Yeah.
Right? But nah, man, I don't want to call Michael Cole the voice. Yeah, he's the one that talks the most.
Well, here's the thing about that, and we'll finish up with this. Here's the thing about Michael Cole I don't like is he doesn't call the moves. He doesn't call any of the moves in the ring anymore. So a lot of these kids don't know what they're doing. They don't know an arm bar from a hip toss. And it drives me nuts that they don't know. And I'm listening to Stone Cold like 2 weeks ago. He was saying the same thing. I like to hear the moves, and they don't talk about that. They talk about everything fucking else except for what's going on in the middle of the ring. That's it.
Right, which is exactly why we need Matt Stryker.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if they want to fire JR every other 6 months, you know, it's like, so if you don't want him, because there's two guys on this planet right now that can call the moves, and that's JR. That's not an option, obviously. And the other one's Matt Stryker.
Yeah.
And, you know, JR used to say it best. He said, some of these commentators don't know the difference between a wrist lock and a wrist watch.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're dealing with right now.
Well, I think JBL could do it, but right now he's the color guy because King just doesn't have it anymore, I guess, or they're going a different direction with him, or they're getting ready to face him out or whatever. But the color guy. JBL is the color guy. He's the guy that's going against the grain.
Yeah.
It's them two versus him. So he's the guy that has to be weird, but JBL could call the moves. He could.
Yeah, he could.
For some reason, yeah. they like him being the weird guy, which is for me is ridiculous. But whatever. Anyway,
yeah.
All right, Matt. So how did Raw start out? Because I have to start with this. This is just brilliant. They played this Chicago crowd perfectly. So how did Raw start out, Matt? Exactly from the top of the game. It started out. You got the music. You got the vignette. You got everything, and then all of a sudden, fireworks and boom, and then. You got that little a second and a half of empty dead space, and what happens? CM Punk's music hits. Woo! Yeah, that crowd goes freaking crazy. And right before CM Punk's music hit, on Twitter, they posted someone that looked like CM Punk walking into the arena with AJ behind him. If you guys did, I know you guys probably didn't know that, did you?
No, we didn't.
They did. They posted someone walking in wearing CM Punk's gray sweatshirt on Twitter walking in. They played this crowd perfectly. But did CM Punk come out, Matt? Who came out?
Old Paul Heyman.
And what happened? Tell us what happened. Run us down.
He had the worst pipe bomb in the history of pipe bombs. It never went off. He lit it, but it never went off. It was absolutely ridiculous. The way he transferred it from... You know, and they're looking like it's a transfer from CM Punk at WrestleMania last year or whenever he fought Undertaker to now, and he used a connection with Lesnar. It's pretty cool, but I don't think he had a pipe bomb. He said he did, but it never seemed like it went off to me.
I'm glad you said that because I was going to call bullshit on you if you didn't say that because it was genius how he transferred that from one person to another. It was genius. I love that spot. He... let that crowd run itself out. What do you think, Exodus? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I actually, I do agree with you guys, because that's what I really liked about it, too, was the transfer. You know, because it connects those two WrestleManias together now, in that sense, when it comes to Taker and the streak. I have to disagree with Matt, you know, in a sense. I liked it. I liked the spot.
I did too.
You know, the pipe bomb, I think that, no, when you compare it to, he was trying to sort of connect it with CM Punk's famous pipe bomb that he did a few years ago. No, it was nowhere near that, because that one was able to convey, you know, like this realness about it. But at the same time, I thought that it got the job done, and I thought it was effective for the storyline and the message that he was trying to convey and how he flipped on the fans like that. I mean, we knew it was coming to an extent, yes, but I like how he really turned it around, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was really good, too, because he was talking about Punk, and then kind of in the middle you were like, who's he talking about? Wait, what's he saying? Wait, he's not talking about Punk anymore. He's talking about Lesnar. Why is he talking about Lesnar? He should be talking about Lesnar. He should be talking about Punk. This is our city. And then, like, all of a sudden, it just got away from them. They didn't even realize it, that they were being entertained. And all of a sudden, they were being entertained. Instead of being the entertainment there, they were being entertained. I thought it was really well. And then Lesnar came out about quarterway through Heyman. Lesnar with his little high screechy voice, he was yelling
right
at the crowd. I always think it's funny when his voice breaks like a 15-year-old.
Yeah, that's so funny, man. It's like that UFC too. It's no different, but it's just funny to see this big, massive guy come out. Then he starts talking. He's like, "Hey, let me tell you something." You know, he's just crazy. He's a couple octaves from Mike Tyson.
He is. He's like two or three octaves from Mike Tyson. And then Mark Henry came out. And Mark Henry right now is just pumping up Lesnar, essentially, and Mark Henry's done. So, Matt, what happened to Mark Henry when he came out?
It was great. Mark Henry gave Lesnar a forearm shiver off the damn stairs and almost knocked his ass out. I thought that was awesome. I'm tired of them pushing Brock. They need to push Henry over Brock just once. And I said this when I watched Raw, that should have finished right there with Henry putting Lesnar through the table, not Lesnar putting Henry through the table.
Why? Why do you
think
that?
Well, I think you can't do that, though, because, you know, right now you got Brock going into this match with WrestleMania. You know,
You have to pump Lesnar up. You have to. He's going against the streak.
Yeah.
I get that. I understand he's going against the streak and all that good stuff, okay? But they just, I mean, he could barely pick up Henry. I mean, if you go back and watch it, when he picked him up, he stumbled. Brock Lesnar is a big blockhead, okay? He doesn't even know what he's saying when he's out there. He spits a lot. He's like just this raging bull without the nuts. Okay.
And you know they have to be careful when they bring him out. It's $250,000 every time they bring him out.
That's nuts. It's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? To pick up Mark Henry and put him through a table. But you know what? He does sell pay-per-views. Regardless of what you think of him, he sells pay-per-views.
No, I understand he sells pay-per-views. I get that. That's not the point of what I'm saying. All I'm saying is that Lesnar cannot get over on everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It can't. It just can't happen. I mean, we all know he's not going to win at WrestleMania. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's going to win either. No. I don't at this point I don't think anyone's going to beat the streak. Exodus, what do you think?
I don't see that happening either. I think that Lesnar is a good addition to the streak. You know, I really like the fact that he's fighting Lesnar, cuz it got a little shaky there for a few years. I think that it was kind of hard to get somebody who could seem like they could do it, like invincible, and without doing a duplicate match like Triple H or HBK again.
Yeah.
I don't want to see any more repeats within the streak. I'll say that. I want to see somebody new that hasn't fought Taker at least Mania before. I'd really like to see Cena in the future, but I've got now. Right now, I'm thinking of all these guys I'd like to see. Fight Taker. I'd really like to see Roman Reigns fight Taker. I tell him that all the time. And I'll say this, the number one guy I would like to see fight Taker at Mania, and I hope he does this for a few more years. I don't know how many more years of Mania he's got in him, but it's just one match a year, so you can do it till you're 60 as far as I'm concerned. But
he's almost 60 now, so.
Yeah, I want to see Taker versus Bray Wyatt. I think that feud would be so dark and so awesome.
A lot of people are saying that. Sorry, a lot of people are saying that Bray Wyatt should be Undertaker should be running Bray Wyatt, should be in charge of Bray Wyatt.
I think that's something that could develop after the Mania. I think that's what should happen after the Mania match. But I think he takes control of Bray Wyatt. I think that would be cool then. But. Right, but like next year, Wyatt versus Taker, I think it should happen. I just imagine the vignettes and the back and forth. Oh man, it would be so gross.
Yeah, I just don't know how good the match is going to be. I mean, I don't get me wrong, I love Bray. Bray is one of the best talkers in the game, and we'll get to that when we get to the Wyatt versus Shield. But I don't know how well the match is going to go. I really don't, because I've never seen much from Bray. Don't get me wrong. Go ahead.
I think it would go think about back when Stone Cold and The Rock went at it. There was nothing really awesome about their matches. It's not like they did these crazy moves or anything, but the crowd went nuts just when, one of them would give an uppercut to the other or clothesline. And I think that really, it's going to seem more basic than with Taker versus Wyatt than Taker versus HBK or Taker versus Punk. But, I think that the crowd, after the build-up, they would put on a decent match that would actually seem a lot better than it really is, because I think the crowd would be going nuts.
Well, here's the other thing that I think that I don't know if Wyatt can go that far with Taker. I really don't. I really don't. I just haven't seen it from him. Now, granted, I haven't gone back and seen any of the NXT stuff from him. But yeah, I agree. As far as vignettes and trash talking, and I can listen to that man talk all day. He is.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he is one of the best on the mic I have ever heard in my life. Oh man. Anyway, let's get there when we get there. So the thing about this Monday Night Raw is that they went literally match after match after match after match after match after match. They did not. They wanted to wear this crowd out. They wanted to make sure that this Chicago crowd did not chant CM Punk every 2 seconds. So as soon as literally as soon as Lesnar and Henry cleared the floor, the Usos and the New Age, the Old Age Outlaws came out. All right, Matt, tell us about that match real quick.
It was a good match. This was the one for the title, right?
Yes, correct. Yep.
Okay. And the ending was great. The beginning was okay, and the middle was okay. Exodus.
I thought it was a good match. You know, I thought it was cool to see the transition of titles on a Raw. You know, that's something we hadn't seen in a while. I think, you know, I've been pleased with, other than that one squash match, the two matches that I've seen from the Usos, you know, that they had Elimination Chamber and the one they had on Raw this past Monday, I thought they were good matches, man. I think that the Old Age Outlaws and the Usos work well together.
Old Age Outlaws, I like that. I think they need more tag teams in the WWE. We say this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They don't push that.
Definitely.
That genre enough.
It's suffered since probably, gosh, it's suffered since like 2005.
Oh, without a doubt. They don't have what they need to build that. They can do so much more with the tag team titles. It felt to me like, okay, we're going to have this match for a third or fourth time for all I know, and all right, well, let's just give it to them this time. You know, that's what it sort of felt like
right.
to me.
They really haven't had it. That match that many times. It's probably been like the second time they've had it. I think they fought when neither one of them had the titles. But other than that, I don't think they fought very much. I think, really, I do. I believe they gave it to the Usos because to wear that crowd out. I really do believe that. I believe they gave it to the Usos to make sure the crowd exploded. Because that crowd was crazy after they won those titles. That crowd blew up.
I like the Usos, but I don't think it was for the crowd. I just don't. I don't. I mean, I just think it was their. They felt like it was their time.
Yeah.
Really? You think so? You think they're going to have it for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the Old Age Outlaws were just transitional champions. They're twin McFoleys is basically what they are.
Yeah, but then who's going to fight the Usos at WrestleMania?
Nobody, because they're not going to be on the card.
You don't think they're going to be on the card?
No. It's probably going to be something
I bet it'll be Goldust and Cody Rhodes.
I mean, I prefer it, yes. I would prefer that. Honestly, you know, I'm hoping that within next year we'll see Cody versus Goldust at WrestleMania, but I mean, that's a whole other can of worms. But
yeah, we're not. They've already confirmed we're not going to see that this year.
Bad face.
Yeah, and Goldust, I mean, honestly, the as good a shape as Goldust is in right now, he would put Cody to shame. He would. He is in phenomenal shape. Amazing shape. So they blew up that crowd. I mean, that crowd reaction for the Usos was awesome. That flying tag, again, I love that flying tag they do. That's a great move they do. I love it. I can't get enough of that stuff. So that was really cool. I always think that that's what Matt and I would do if we were a twin tag team. I always thought that. That'd be really cool.
I would do a backflip out of the ring and tag you, but that's just me. I'm just saying.
My ass, you do a backflip. You never done a backflip your entire life. All right. So, and then it literally, as soon as they left the ring, as soon as the crowd just got calmed down just a second, Big E versus Cesaro. Big E versus the Real Americans, and Cesaro is getting a huge push from the fans. He's put his work in. What do you guys think about Cesaro and Big E? What do you guys? X, we'll go to you, X.
Yeah, you know, I really like Cesaro. I can't say that enough. You know, I'm getting a little tired of Big E versus the Real Americans right now. It's kind of already wore out its welcome with me. But
well, who else? Who else is it going to be?
You know. I guess it really couldn't be anybody else right now. I'm just simply stating I don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
But, you know, like, because Cesaro, when I watch a match with Cesaro versus Big E, I forget that, to me, it's like, it's just Cesaro picking up a big Everlast bag and then tossing it around a bunch of times. But that just—I thought, you know, I'm impressed with Cesaro. I'll just say that.
Man, what do you think?
Cesaro will go down as the greatest champion, second to John Cena ever. That's what I think. Holler.
Bullshit.
I think he'll go down. The greatest guy to never win the championship.
I think he'll win it, but I don't think he'll go down as the greatest ever. I think he'll go down as right behind Bret Hart.
Yeah, I was just being a little sarcastic.
Yeah, I know.
But it's okay. No, I mean, I think that you need to go ahead and split them up. I thought that hug was dumb, and they need to get that feud going for WrestleMania and have a grudge match at WrestleMania. They can put Cesaro in there with any trash can, and he'll look great with them, to be honest with you. I mean, Cesaro's phenomenal wrestler, and like I said last week, they need to shave his legs, shave his head, and get him in some damn pants, and I think he'll be even better.
Absolutely, I agree. His short shorts are a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, get this Intercontinental belt off of Mr. Nation of Domination 2000 here, and let's go ahead and get the real Americans fighting at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental belt. And I don't even want to see Big E on WrestleMania. I want to see him on a pre-show. Good idea.
I feel like Cesaro is my new favorite thing. And with that match on Monday Night Raw, I was expecting wonderful things. Because anytime Cesaro steps in the ring now, I'm expecting wonderful things. And then with Jack Swagger coming in, I really do feel like my new toy got taken away. I really do. I feel like that this new shiny video game that I love to play, and it's awesome because it's new and it's great, and somebody just came in and took it away for the night. And I think it's kind of shitty that Jack Swagger came in and took it away. And it really sucked. I was really sad.
Yeah.
All right. So with that being said, yeah, I mean, Cesaro, Jack Swagger is coming. It's coming. It probably will happen at WrestleMania, most likely. Big E will lose the title probably to one of them, and one of them will walk out, and it'll be Cesaro. Now, the big match. The match that they didn't announce until Monday Night Raw. Wyatt's versus The Shield, as Cole said 15 times, #rematch. What do you guys think? Matt, we'll go to you first this time, X.
Yeah, sorry about breaking in there, but man, I could watch these guys wrestle every single week. Man, it's like, you know, I think it was even better than the first one. I like to watch them both back-to-back so I can really feel like I could make a fair decision. But, man, I just can't say it enough. There is something magical when these two teams go on a six-man tag together. I just think it's great. They incorporate everybody and just the unorthodox styles of Bray Wyatt and The Shield. You know, it's just and Ambrose, to be more specific. It's just awesome. You know, it's just a great dynamic, and I love seeing that smile on Roman Reigns' face when Rollins was doing all those flips and everything. Man, that was just fun. You could tell that, you know, McMahon was probably, you know, at home boiling, like, hey, you're not supposed to smile. Don't smile. You know, but, you know, he couldn't hold it back for nothing, man. He was just, like, getting all excited, you know.
Well, again, like I say, if you guys watch NXT, you guys will see these two go at it. These two teams to go at it, because they go at it quite a bit on NXT. That's what you guys are missing. And I'm not kidding. That's what you guys are missing. So,
yeah,
Matt, what do you think, Matt?
Well, last week on this very podcast, you told us that at the Elimination Chamber that it was the greatest match of the year, Wyatt versus Shield. And I proceeded to tell you that that was not the greatest match of the year, but this week was the greatest match of the year, Wyatt versus
Shield. Okay.
It honestly had me captivated. It reminded me of just a good old-fashioned rivalry of great wrestling, you know, confusing the refs, killing behind the ref's back, everybody out of the ring, everybody in the ring. I mean, it was really, really good. I was really shocked at how good that match was.
Did it remind you of the Attitude Era?
I don't know about that. I mean, we can just drop the whole Attitude Era is not coming back, so let's just stop talking about it.
No, but I know that. I'm just saying, did it give you that nostalgia feeling? Did it give you that?
No,
oh my God,
no,
this
didn't.
Is. It didn't?
No, it didn't. Okay. It just gave me a feeling of good wrestling on a Monday night that I missed. That's all it really gave me. It gave me a, you know, these are really good guys. I honestly think the Shield are three great guys, but I think they'll be better as individuals. I think they need to take one of them, move them over to Wyatt, you know, maybe a little backstabbing going on there.
Which one?
To break them up.
Which one?
Rollins. They need to put Rollins over there. There's too much meat, not enough action over there on the Wyatt.
Gotcha.
A lot of muscle, no flow. And then, like we said last week, we need to add a female there. And honestly, I think if you add those two parts to Wyatt, I think they might be probably the most impressive team, or if you want to call it a family, that you could possibly ever have on the history of the WWE.
Well, if you're talking about adding two more, that's five. That's a faction. That's not a family anymore. That's a faction.
Whatever you want to call it. Call it a family. Call it a faction. Call it a group. Call it the fucking NWO. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, that would be really good. They need a high flyer, and they need a female, and I think they would be able to take on anything.
The match was awesome. It did remind me of the WWE Attitude Era. It did very much remind me of that. If you look back at a lot of those Rock versus Stone Cold versus Triple H versus Kurt Angle versus all these crazy top name guys that are going at it together, that are jumping back into the ring, jumping out of the ring and going around. It was freaking chaos, and it was great. Rollins going from jump to jump to jump to jump. I mean, going around, yes. They look like they were actually having fun for once. And you felt it through the TV, and the crowd was going crazy, and it was even better than last. And technically, was it the best match? No. It wasn't even the best time match. The last one was much better timed as far as when you're going to hit this and when you're going to hit that. But this one's felt like it was more spontaneous and it was more fun. I mean, I can't even explain it. It was just a lot of fun. And what did you guys think about Rollins leaving? What did you guys think about Rollins leaving, walking away?
I thought that was a pretty cool twist there. I didn't see that coming, you know. But it made sense, you know, once it actually happened. Because he was the guy the whole time that was trying to keep these two from bickering and fighting all the time.
Yeah, he was the glue. He's the glue.
Right. You know, and so I thought it was great because when he did do the break, it made sense, you know, because the icing on the cake was those guys not being there for him when he was trying to get the tag and get his tail whooped, you know, and he's just like, it is like he's at the ropes. Once he gets the tag, he's at the ropes and is having this time to process and make this realization, like, man, these dudes ain't here for me. So when they try to tag me, I'm going to walk away. And you know, we have been watching him for weeks and weeks now, where he's, you know, always, like you said, trying to be the glue. So it made sense. They did a nice build-up, I felt like, in building up to this breakup, or what looks like it's going to be a breakup. They did a nice job creating that whole storyline there.
Yeah, evidently on SmackDown, they had like a little press conference between all three of them, and evidently they made up and they made friends again. But I have a good feeling on Monday it's gonna blow up, like, you know, World War III. I don't think it's gonna stay at all. So, all right, moving on. Emma and Santino versus Fandango and Summer Rae. We've seen this three times now. So what?
Yeah, I don't even know why this is on our agenda for this podcast, man.
I can explain it to you.
Can we just skip it or something, man? Like, it's just horrific. Like, I think that, you know, right now we should skip anything that involves Santino versus Fandango and anything that involves the Divas.
There was a match on NXT like a year ago that was called the Comedy Match. And what it was is exactly the same setup. I'm not sure if Santino was in it, but I know Fandango, Summer Rae, and Emma was in it. But literally, they were having trouble tagging each other in, what girl is going to fight the girl, and the guy has to fight the guy. So literally, it was this funny, really funny, it was almost like a comedy bit in the middle of a wrestling match where they were trying to find out, and they were doing that awkward tag thing where They kept coming in. They kept tagging each other back in. And it was actually really funny. And it seems like they tried to do that on Raw, and it didn't translate very well. And it's a shame because it was really funny. If you guys get a chance, you guys should look it up because it was really funny. But it just didn't flow very well. So, Matt, what do you? I'm afraid to ask you what you thought of it.
I think that the Divas and Santino and Fandango and
Fandango.
Yeah, that do too. I think they are about as much use as toilet paper.
Toilet paper is actually very
but, useful. Okay, all right. I get that. I understand that. You know, whatever. Whatever you think of them, their characters are weird. They're dumb. They're whatever. You have to have a sense of levity in the middle of all the seriousness. You can't just have seriousness over and over again. You don't have The Rock to fix that. You have to bring it in from somewhere.
Look, man. Look, we have three major issues going on in WWE right now, okay? One, the tag titles are not being taken seriously, neither is the tag division. Two, the U.S. title has been on the same freaking person forever, and they're not doing anything with that.
Three, the Intercontinental title. Go ahead.
Tell me I'm wrong. It's not being done in anything. The guy has only defended it once in the past damn year.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And three, the Intercontinental title is back in the 90s on Nation of Domination. I'm just saying, these are three major issues, and they're taking that time, that valuable time, where they could be pushing Ziggler and all the other guys that are at his level up through those titles, and they don't. They don't do anything with it. If you go on WWE.com, they have a roster full of people and don't use these titles. There used to be dedicated time at Raw for these titles, and now they use it on this instead? It's absolutely ridiculous.
All right, so... Let's change this up a little bit. Since you brought this up, let's change the outline a little bit. All right. So, do you think that they should go back to separate brands? Let's ask this. Since you're on a rant, let's ask this.
What was the question again? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Do you think they should go back to separate brands?
Separate brands? No.
Yes. Raw versus SmackDown.
Separate brands?
Well, if you go back to separate brands, your Intercontinental is on one brand, and your European's on another brand, and your World Championship is on another brand.
I understand SmackDown is only 2 hours, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. SmackDown is only 2 hours. I understand not having enough time for that, for everything on that show. Raw is 3 hours. It is forever, okay? You have plenty of time to take care of what you need to take care of and execute all these wrestlers, this crap, okay? The Bellas have their own show on E. Keep them on E, okay? Get them out of my damn ring, all right? If they're not going to bring it every night, get them out. Not Sheamus, but Santino and Fandango, come on. Fandango could probably be a really good wrestler if they just took him out of here. Santino, I honestly, I don't know. I haven't seen him really wrestle in a very long time.
Well, I really do believe Fandango will be a world champion at one point if they let him let go.
I do.
Like
a TNA?
No, I really do believe that Fandango will be a world champion if he is allowed to let go of the Fandango character. I really do believe that.
Oh, you mean New Japan. You mean New Japan.
New Japan, rather. That's what you're talking about.
No, I mean WWE champion.
No, you're kidding.
I do. Nah. I do believe that the guy has the goods to go. I do believe it.
I get the point. You know, this is supposed to be comic relief, but there's a key word there: comic relief. Comic. It's not even funny. You know, like Santino. I remember he used to be so funny. He dressed up as Santina, or you know, then Kane would come back there and hold him up and say, "As you were CM Punk," and then he's like, "Did you check by the Pepsi machine? That was so funny. Where is that Santino at? He's walking around. This crazy chick, man. I hate this right now.
It's dumb. And he eliminated the focus on the titles more in each division and each level instead of this crap they have in the ring right now. When that comes on, I either fast forward it through my TiVo or I get up and go use the bathroom because that's what I need to do."
Okay, all right. Now, this is the one, Sheamus and Christian was the match that the crowd decided to take a shit on. Now, Emma Santino versus Fandango and Samurai, they kind of were wearing from their white and versus the Shield high. And now they're wearing out on it. That was a really kind of a quick match, Santino versus Fandango versus Santino and Summer Rae with Emma. But they really started to take a shit on the Sheamus and Christian match, and I thought that was really kind of shitty because it was a really decent match. It wasn't their best match in the whole wide world, but it was a really good match. What do you guys think? We'll go to Matt. Matt, what do you think?
I like Sheamus and I like Christian. So, I mean, I thought it was a really decent match. I mean, that's two guys that have been doing this for a while, but I mean, they could be going for the Intercontinental or the U.S. title. They could be pushed in that direction instead of the world, you know, and then step it up some more and maybe go to the world title. I understand they're pretty big names, you know. But, I mean, all in all, the match was okay. I thought the brawl afterwards was better than the first. Him coming in, Christian coming in and beating him with the light and saying, yeah, you know, you want my light, you want my light, here's my spotlight, and beating him over the head with it. I thought that was awesome.
And then after the beatdown, after the match, Sheamus actually needed stitches, and he tweeted it out. He's like, blood, something about, you know, blood equals blood or something like that. So what do you think? Yeah. What do you think, Exodus?
I thought the match was good. Like Matt said, I definitely have to agree there. It was nice back and forth between the two these guys. You know, my only issue with it is that I could rewind to 2011 and watch these guys wrestle then too against each other. That was my only complaint about it. You know, it's not anything fresh. But yeah, I think that it's unfair for the crowd to take a crap on it like that. The beatdown, man, I have to say, I'm really liking Ruthless Aggression Christian right now.
Yeah,
me
too.
That.
Me too.
Finally, thank you for bringing that back, Ruthless Aggression, where, you know, it's not some beatdown. I thought it was a very good beatdown, because sometimes beatdown nowadays within wrestling can look kind of sloppy.
Yeah.
Because it just looks like a bunch of cat punches that where people just balled their fist up instead, and it just looks so sloppy. And he actually looked like made it believable that he really beat up Shane. It reminded me of a NWO attack, except there's only one guy.
He broke skin. It's same as he used stitches after that. So,
he's like the Irish version of Casper the Friendly Ghost, and that dude bruises and bleeds so easily. I'm pretty sure I could like just pat Sheamus on the back and probably break skin a little bit.
Yeah, I mean that's a good point, but I mean he really didn't need stitches. He showed a picture on Twitter and it was like bleeding on his arm and stuff, and he was like, you know, blood equals blood or something like that. So I think it's going to be a good match for WrestleMania. I really do. I hope they throw some kind of stipulation in it or something like no holds bars or fall count anywhere or something to make it interesting, or tables or ladders or whatever, you know. Well, you know, if it's ladders, it's Christian's going to win. But if it's tables, you never know. And then we have the Bella Twins versus Alicia Fox and Oksana. What'd you guys think?
I would have to say that I was at least pleased with the fact that there. I don't remember any botches in this match.
There were a couple. They weren't a severe, but there were a couple.
Right. Nothing to me that really stood out. Like, I guess now I'm starting to, when I just see these girls do not make any really noticeable mistakes. Because I'm just looking for them to. They messed up royally so bad over the past month now that when they make minimal mistakes, I at least try to give them credit and be like, oh, well, that was kind of a flawless match. When in reality, it's actually not.
Yeah, it's
but
not.
Again, you know, it wasn't a great match. I was like, really? Why is this going? Why do you add an extra an hour to Raw? You're just going to fill it with crap.
What do you think, Matt? I'm afraid to ask you, because based on your last rant on Divas, I'm afraid to ask. What do you think? Okay. All right. So this is what I think. All right. submit a weekly 90-second opinion on another podcast called AWWIR. It's the All Wrestling Weekend Review podcast. It's a very good and positive podcast hosted by Dan the Cannon. I love this podcast. It's a great podcast. If you guys have a chance to listen to it, please download it, listen to it, take heed. It's a really good podcast. This was my proposal on that podcast. I think that the NXT Divas should do a Nexus-like takeover of the WWE Divas. I think they should come in, they should beat them all up, they should send them with their pink slips packing, and send them down to NXT and make them learn how to wrestle. Now, with that being said, I think that would revolutionize the Divas in the WWE. Would that make you guys want to watch it? Exodus, what do you think? Would that make you want to watch it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one thing that the Divas division has lacked for quite a while now is
actual wrestlers
and an actual storyline within the Divas.
Yeah.
What happened to, I can't remember, believe I'm forgetting her name, but the girl that used to run around with Michelle McCool, the British girl.
The girl that was related to, what's his name from 3MB?
Sure, I guess.
His sister or something like that? I don't know what happened to her. I don't know.
Yeah. She wasn't a bad wrestler. I mean, I miss some of the, a lot of the girls that used to wrestle, you know, 3 or 4 years ago because, like I've said before, the talent's just not there right now. So, you know, I'll take your word for it that these NXT girls have what it takes. And, yeah, anything could be better than this right now. I do want to make this point real quick because I just thought about this. I think that the only reason that these girls are getting the publicity that they do with on wrestling because it's all about E. It's all about promoting the show on E.
Yeah.
The show, from what I've heard, is doing well.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all it is. It's all to promote the show. So this show is kind of causing, you know, I'll go on a limb here and say that this show is causing, at least when it comes to the portion of the Divas division that we see within wrestling, not the portion that we see on E, but the portion that we see within wrestling, it's very detrimental to it because McMahon wants to put them out there, or you know the McMahons want to put them out there because they got to promote this show, and the show is doing well, which is going to keep these girls wrestling. So you know I blame the show for the fact that we have to still watch these girls wrestle every week because they're not wrestlers.
In other words, they're not wrestlers. They're models. They're not wrestlers. They're actors, actresses, models. You know, with the girls on NXT are actual wrestlers. They know how to wrestle. Paige knows how to wrestle. Not only does she know how to wrestle, she's also good looking, just like Trish Stratus was, just like Lita was. They have these divas, except for AJ. Now put AJ aside, because AJ can wrestle. We've seen her do it. These group of divas. And I would even say put AJ and Natalya aside, Natty aside, okay? Because Natty is from Hart Foundation. She knows how to wrestle, all right? I haven't ever seen her botch a move. Very rarely does she ever botch a move.
Yes, Natty is very good.
Well, yes.
Is she hurt right now?
No, she's not hurt, which is why I don't know, X. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know why they don't have her out there every week.
Wow.
Fighting. I don't understand that either. But anyway, this group of divas, the Bella Twins, the Exanas, the Alicia Fox, the all the rest of them, they don't know how to wrestle, and they're gonna hurt each other. Just like the other girl, one of the Funkadactyls got her eye socket broken because Exana did a real close knee move to her head. And instead of hurting her head, she hit her eyeball.
Wow. And you know, and that's a shame because I think that girl, I believe it was Naomi, I remember watching her. I know they're having to wrestle with all these girls that aren't that good has made her come off her game because she don't have anybody to make her better.
Yeah.
But I remember watching that girl. I remember watching Naomi wrestle on the All Women's NXT when it was still Come On TV.
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking, man, this girl can wrestle. But I think that what's messed her up, you know, of course, before this injury, is that you know, she had to wrestle with, she's not wrestling with anybody who is really pushing her style and really allowing her to be able to do what she can do. And so sometimes, you know, when you're around people, iron sharpens iron. So when you're around people that are good, they're going to make you better, you know. And so, and when you're around people that are better than you, that pushes your game. She doesn't have anybody to do that. So in the same sense, you know, I think, you know, butter knives don't do anything for each other when you're rubbing together. So they're just making this, I think they really brought Naomi's game down, and then now she's gotten injured because these girls can't wrestle.
Yeah. Matt, what do you think? Do you think if the NXT girls came into NXT Nexus type takeover at WWE Divas, would you watch that? Would you be interested?
I think anything with a storyline with the Divas will help right now because they have nothing going on at all.
I agree.
Nothing at all.
And you're not kidding. Literally nothing. There's nothing going on. It's embarrassing how little is going on in that Divas division in the WWE. Now there's quite a bit going on in an NXT Divas division. There's a lot of storylines going on, but there's nothing going on in WWE. All right, we're done talking about that. Let's move on. All right, so after the Bella Twins and Alicia Fox and Oksana, their debacle come out, Brian called out Triple H. Daniel Bryan called out Triple H and Stephanie to talk about the WrestleMania match. And Brian said he wants Triple H at WrestleMania. Triple H said he's a B-plus player. He doesn't deserve Triple H at WrestleMania, blah, blah, blah. I just don't care about the storyline. I don't know what else is going to make me care about it. Now, there were a couple things. Stephanie has, she's upped her game so much on being a heel in what she says. And Daniel Bryan saying something about, this is my ring. I own this ring. We own this ring, pointing out to the crowd. The Yes Movement owns this ring. And Stephanie actually saying, no, we actually own this ring. This is actually our ring, you know? And then towards the end of the interview, Stephanie said, you know, we actually made you, Daniel. Do you understand that? We made you. We made you. So, Matt, what do you think about that? I know you don't overly like Daniel Bryan, but what do you think going on between those two? It's a storyline, at least.
The one thing you failed to mention, was the interview with Batista, okay? That set up the whole thing. Batista said exactly the way I feel
Okay, how do you feel?
I'm just thinking, like, when Matt watches this interview, because I've watched it before he did, and I was like, man, Matt sees this interview, he is going to become a Batista fan and get a flower garden on his back, too. I just got the tattoo outline done yesterday. I just got it all done yesterday. It looks good. It's starting to grow in now.
All right. Here's you got 2 minutes right now. You got 2 minutes to tell us why Batista is better than Daniel Bryan.
He's actually a man, not a man child. Do I need to say anything else?
Yeah, do we really need 2 minutes on that?
I mean, I don't need 2 minutes on that.
Yes, you do. Daniel Bryan can wrestle. Batista, since he got back, has not performed a wrestling match without fucking something up. Period. End of story. He has botched almost every move he has done. He didn't pull off one move in the Royal Rumble that was correct. Not one. Not one. He messed up every move in the Royal Rumble. Not to mention the next day, he came back to Raw, tried to do a Batista bomb, and didn't do a full Batista bomb. He just did a power bomb because his fat ass couldn't sit, his old ass couldn't sit down in his tight ass jeans and his white weird shirt that he was wearing. Batista is horrible. Daniel Bryan is much better.
I understand the way you feel, okay? But let me tell you something. There's a difference in somebody walking in there and being a superstar, and there's a difference in Daniel Bryan, okay? There's just a difference. He's not a superstar. Exactly what Batista said. Today, it seems like anybody and their mother can be a superstar. I mean, I can go walk in that ring right now and do what Daniel Bryan does and be a superstar, I guess. If I just come up with a cool phrase like, yes, everybody will love me. I mean, just the way it seems. That's not the way it is. You got to prove yourself. You got to become a champion. This whole Yes Movement is crap. It's bull. It's what Stephanie and Triple H created. It has really nothing to do with Daniel Bryan.
I would totally disagree. Daniel Bryan was doing the Yes Chant back when he was in Nexus.
And how do you know that Stephanie Triple H didn't create that? You do not.
Because everyone told him to come up with some type of catchphrase, and he did. It was the Yes, and he would point his fingers up, and he would skip towards the ring or sidestep towards the ring, and people have just slowly started to go along with it. It was a long, very long 1 year, 2 year burn where people started to go along with it. And if you watch his, when you guys get the WWE Network, you guys will be able to see the best catchphrases in the WWE. And he's one of them because he's so popular on it, and it will tell you the story of how it became popular. It's actually
popular does not say it's one of the best catchphrases of all time. That does not say that. That shouldn't even be on that list. That is absolutely asinine to say that the word yes is one of the greatest catchphrases of all time. That's not a catchphrase. It's a word.
So is what? What? What?
I agree. What? I agree. I totally agree with you.
But I like what? the yes movement, you want to know what I think about that?
What?
I'm just saying.
So,
they're not, neither one of them is a catchphrase.
But,
it's not.
But hey, let's get back to the real...
Again, yes. My question is the promo with Bryan and Triple H and Stephanie. What do you think, Matt?
It was phenomenal. It was great. Stephanie and Triple H needed to do that. They needed to put Daniel Bryan in his place, okay? He needs to know his role. He needs to know where he is in the pecking order of the WWE. He's got this delusion of grandeur because these fans are sucking on the sack of him and cannot get off his hairy chin. Who knows what's below that? You know, they can't seem to do it. Is it phenomenal to see? It blows my mind every time I see a pan out of the stadium and everybody's pointing to the sky for the jihad.
Yes. Like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Exodus, what do you think, man? Lay it down for us.
Yeah, I thought that this whole dynamic between the two parties was just awesome. Not because of Daniel Bryan so much, and not because of Triple H, but because of Stephanie McMahon. That girl put it down.
She did.
She laid it down, man. Just breaking down the whole psychology to Daniel Bryan about, you know, hey, Daniel, I get it. You know, the social media blows up. This happens. That happens. It all goes to your head. That was so awesome to really break down the psychology of that and reminding him, this is our ring. And he's, you know, he's refuting that with his version of Mick Foley Cheap Pops.
Mm.
And, you know, this is their ring. You know, and all that mess. Come on, man. We don't need any more of that. That's the problem with him, though, is I think that, or at least what I feel is the problem with him, is that's all he has to say. That's all he can do is cheaply pander to the crowd, you know?
Thank you.
All right, so neither one of you guys are Daniel Bryan supporters.
He's the carrot top of the WWE, and he always needs the prop.
All right. And after that, and then they say Daniel Bryan has to fight Batista, main event, blah, 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 on Raw. Okay. Ziggler versus Del Rio. Now, Del Rio comes down to the ring during a commercial. Man, has Del Rio fallen. Ziggler comes to the ring. Del Rio is already in ring. Ziggler comes to the ring with Aaron Paul. Now, I didn't get a chance to ask you guys last time. What do you guys think about these celebrities? What do you guys think about, like, you know, Betty White or Aaron Paul or whatever the next celebrity is going
to
be?
I think it's good to do that. You know, it's good publicity. You know, when you bring in a celebrity like that, it's something that gets interest because of people that it could possibly bring in new fans because, you know, somebody that likes Betty White that used to be a huge Golden Girl fan or something might be like, hey, I want to see what she does. I mean, who doesn't like Betty White nowadays? You know, if you don't like Betty White, you're just me. But, you know, like, I think it's a good idea. It's good to do it the way they do it, where they don't do it every week like they did at that one point with the celebrity host. That got a little monotonous after a while, but like the Raw GM thing and stuff like that. But I like it.
Yeah, I like it too, Matt. What do you think, real quick? Matt, you there? Did we lose you?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Celebrity host.
Yeah, celebrity host. They're there for a reason. They're there to get a pop. They're there to help out their sales of whatever they're selling. I mean, it's business. That's what it is. I think it's smart. The one thing that Exodus and I talked about is we don't know why WWE hasn't sold the rights to things like the ring apron or other spaces that are available for TV, like baseball does and football does.
You don't think it makes you look cheap?
No, it doesn't make you. I mean, all the other. I mean, this is a sport entertainment, right? That's what this is. The business. You want to make more money? You sell things like that. You put a green screen up so that when your cameras pan on it, there's a certain thing there to sell. No, it doesn't look cheap to me. At first, yeah, well, people think it's dumb and stupid, but it makes money. You're talking about how many eyeballs are looking at that? Come on. That's just smart business.
But that's what the, Raw sponsored by Snickers, or Raw sponsored by this, or Raw sponsored by, KY Jelly, whatever,
Correct, and that's why they should sell the ring apron and sell other spots and have it green screened make more money.
I disagree.
I understand you disagree. You can disagree all you want. It's my opinion.
I just don't want to see more. I don't want to see any more Jackson Hewitt sponsorship. Okay. Didn't make any sense to me. Snickers and Slim Jim, it all makes sense. It's snack food. You might
Jackson,
go up to the
Jackson
and
Hewitt
buy that.
Doesn't make any sense. Jackson, fuck you, Jackson Hewitt. So Ziggler comes down with Aaron Paul and this badass Mustang, this sick-ass Mustang from Need for Speed, gets a huge pop. The thing I did like about this Aaron Paul or this type of celebrity thing is because they were out there for one person. He was out there for one match. He wasn't part of any vignette. He wasn't part of anything. I think they did that to protect Aaron Paul, but I also think they did it very well because he was only out there for a little while. They got his point across. He got on commentary. He stood on top of the damn announcing table yelling at Ziggler to come on, Ziggler, come on. It seemed like he was invested in it, and it just seemed a little bit more real. And then they surprise us with the Big E versus Swagger match. Cesaro comes out, interrupts the match. Cesaro's face when he interrupts the match is priceless. He's like the puppy that found something that you've been looking for forever. He's like, I didn't take a dump in the kitchen. Don't look at me like that. It was great. What do you guys think about that? Matt, we'll go to you first.
I mean, it was fun. I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, that was funny too.
That's all it was there for, It wasn't for anything major, but yeah, it was.
Well,
funny.
I mean, it was there to spur on the rivalry.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Exodus, you got anything?
I just was laughing when at Cesaro's expression when they quote unquote made up and when they're looking at each other like two little grudging brothers, and he's just like, we the people, like his sinister looking grin was just classic to me. I loved it because Swagger is really trying to get into it, and Cesaro's just like wanting to laugh like somebody on SNL, they're trying to keep composed.
He's like, you're joking. He's like, you're a joke, and I'm gonna destroy you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, he's just like, I like that part of it. I kind of thought of it a little bit. It was a waste of time. Again, if you get rid of that kind of stuff, and then the Divas and Fandango and Santino, we wouldn't need an extra hour at all.
Yeah. All right. Got Cena called out the Wyatts. The Bray Wyatt cutting an amazing promo. You can only hear like a quarter of it because the freaking crowd is screaming CM Punk or something stupid on the mic. Just totally interrupting the Wyatts. So that happened. And then the main event was Bryan versus Bautista. Right before the main event, Bautista walked by Randy Orton in the back, and Randy Orton told him good luck before the match. Now, I thought that was a little bit weird. What do you guys think?
It was it was a way to get Randy Orton on TV that night. That's all it was.
Yeah, he was doing commentary.
I mean, yeah, he was doing commentary, but I mean, other than that, what did he have to do Monday?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really have to do anything until he shows up for WrestleMania. You know, he's the champion. There's nothing's gonna change that right now.
I think it was simply to just add some sort of suspicion to the storyline because there's really not much there right now. It's really sad that, once again, this is our main event for WrestleMania, and no one's buying it. No one cares. You know what I mean? There's nothing intriguing about it. So we need, gosh, Randy Orton could come out in a clown costume right now, and I can make this thing more interesting.
He might need to come out in a clown costume.
I don't understand why they're still doing this Randy Orton versus Batista. Maybe you guys can explain it to me. Exodus, what do you think?
You know, I really don't get it either. You know, and on the last week's podcast, you know, I want something to happen. I need Batista to get caught with a DUI or something, you know. You know, like, something to get him out of this match, man, because some kind of scandal or something, you know. Because, I mean, get caught in traffic while trying to get to the arena the day of, and someone has to do a surprise match or something. I don't know. I can't stand it that's the main event, you know, because no one wants to see it. I would think the WWE, knowing that no one really cares, would try to do something about it and come up with a plan B.
Matt, what do you think?
The main thing about WrestleMania is right now currently is a streak. So I think the only reason why they're not worried too much about Batista versus Orton because they always have Taker in their back pocket. So, I mean, even though it's not going to be that great of a match and we're not looking forward to it that much, it is about the world champ, but you still have something more important as the streak, you know.
But dude, this is WrestleMania 30. This is WrestleMania 30. What? This is going to go down as the worst WrestleMania in history if it's just Randy Orton versus Batista. It's going to do.
I understand that.
Unless they bring out like the Hell in the Cell or fucking something crazy, like tables, ladders, and chairs, or something nuts, street fight. Hulk Hogan does a run in or something. It's going to be the worst match in WrestleMania history at WrestleMania 30.
Well, you can't give that to the match when the match hasn't happened yet. First of all, okay, you don't know that. All right. Randy Orton is a great athlete. He can pull some stuff out of his hat. Batista is getting old. He was old when he started wrestling, but he's a still decent wrestler. He can still put on a good match.
I disagree.
Well, that's fine.
We've seen him try to put on a good match. He's winded after 2 minutes in the ring. He runs down to the ring and he's winded.
Right. He's got ring rust. He hasn't been in there in years. You know, it's the first time in a couple of years he's been in there. What do you think's going to happen?
Whose fault is that?
Is he going to pick it up?
Yes, I think he should be practicing and training and working hard. Instead, he's fucking around with movies and doing dumb stuff and wants to come back because he wants to get a payday.
He's doing what he has to make money.
I'd rather see Randy Orton wrestle Hulk Hogan with a t-shirt and an Icy Hot patch than watch Batista and Randy Orton go at it at WrestleMania. And you make a good point, Chris. It's WrestleMania 30.
Mm-hmm.
30. This is a big deal.
Not as big as 50 or 25. Those are really the big numbers.
30 is a huge deal. No one expected the WrestleMania to last one, let alone 30. It's one of the. It's other than Super Bowl. I can't think of anything else that's been around longer.
You ever heard of the World Series?
No one cares about the World Series. No one buys the World Series. Look, no one buys the World Series on pay per view. Okay, 500,000 people don't buy the World Series
on
pay per view.
Nobody buys the Super Bowl on pay-per-view.
Doesn't matter. The Super Bowl gets 30 times the amount of the World Series. The World Series only gets around 12 to 15 million viewers.
Okay.
WrestleMania gets around 1 to 2 million viewers a year.
That means more people care about baseball.
I'm just saying no one pays for the World Series. That's what I'm saying.
I think we're getting off on a little bit of a rant here. Let's bring it back down to Earth for us.
All right. So let's – yeah, you're right. You're right, X. You're right. All right,
we're acting like the Shield right now, guys.
We are acting like the Shield. All right, so you got after the Bryan Batista match, Batista throws Brian into Randy Orton. Randy Orton hits Batista, blah, blah, blah. Brian gets a beat down by Triple H at the end of it because Triple H tries to explain to him that he's a B-plus player, leans down, Brian kicks him in the head, then Triple H beats him up. Blah, blah, blah. Kane's there to help him. Anyway, we know where this is heading. This is heading Triple H versus Brian at WrestleMania. I know Matt's happy because Brian's not in the main event. Exodus is not happy because Brian and Triple H sounds boring. And I'm not happy because this is what CM Punk should have been doing the whole time. You know, I got about that right, guys?
I'd say you're right about you guys, but not about me.
Okay. What you got?
I think that, you know, I don't dislike the idea of Triple H fighting Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. I think that it would be good for Daniel Bryan's career. The only thing that I'm afraid of is going to happen, and where I'll be unhappy, is if Triple H uses this as an opportunity to have a moment, another moment of glory. Because I think that sometimes, you know, Hunter is not trying to get in here and have a WWE title reign. He's had like 14 or something. He's okay. But, you know, I think that what he likes to do sometimes is say, you know what, I just want to remind, he wants to be like Michael Jordan. He wants to come back every now and then and want to remind us that he's good, you know, so, and that he is the game. So I think that he's going to do the same thing that he did to Punk a few years ago, and he's going to say, turn to his wife and say, hey, honey, could you put me over Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania? Can we do that just so I can have a little bit more, you know, something to build my ego? Could you do that for the game? You know, I just think that that's what he's going to do. And that's going to be detrimental because everybody's going nuts over Daniel Bryan right now. So if you're going to, if the intent is to put Hunter over Bryan, then I'll be unhappy.
This is what everyone's saying. Everyone is saying that Triple H is going to lose to Bryan at WrestleMania, and then Triple H is going to come back on Monday Night Raw the next night. Give it up to Bryan. Tell him, you know, you got me. You earned your title shot. Here's your title shot. At the biggest Raw of the year, after WrestleMania, Bryan's going to win the World Championship.
That's dumb. If everybody's saying that, they're dumb, they can't think for themselves, and they're idiots. Okay? I understand Exodus's problem with this, but that's exactly what should happen. Triple H should be Daniel Bryan. Triple H should go over on Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan should step down to his mediocre reign of whatever you want to call this Yes Movement over the Raw division or the WWE universe and just disappear.
Wow. All right, Matt. That's his opinion. He's sticking to it. What do you guys think about Paul Bearer? I'm really looking forward to the Hall of Fame of Paul Bearer. I think he deserves it wholeheartedly. I think he deserves it. And I don't think there would be anybody else better than The Undertaker to induct him. What do you guys think? Real quick.
This is what I think.
Tomorrow, we have a special casket for you.
You know, I think that it is great that, you know, Paul Bearer, that was a tribute to you, by the way, RIP. But, you know, like, I think it's great that he's going in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest managers, I think, and just greatest personalities of all time. You know, he really brought... He introduced the character of The Undertaker to us, you know. I mean, he really brought it to life. And
He introduced a lot of characters to us, if you look back at his career.
He brought us, I think he really helped Mankind, and he really helped Kane.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did a lot for, he really, you know, you'd have to almost credit him for bringing in the dark mystique of the WWE. He pioneered that.
Yeah. Matt, what do you think?
I think Paul Bearer was a phenomenal manager. It was a shame they couldn't do this before he passed away. That's what I truly think. It's really a shame that they couldn't get this done before they passed away. I don't know why they held out for so long, but maybe his family members will be there. We know Taker will be there. We know Kane will be there. We know Mick Foley will probably be there because he introduced all of them. So it's awesome. It's great. But they shouldn't have waited so long. It's just a shame.
Yeah, I agree too. But, you know, you never know when somebody's going to die. You know, they probably, you know, he was fairly young when he died. He was only like, probably like 62 or 61 or something. You know, you just never know. So, all right, guys, what do you think about your opinion so far? Just give me a grade. I'm going to make this real quick because we got a game afterwards. So give me a grade, A, B, C, D, E, F of the state of the WWE. What do you guys think, Matt?
C.
C, okay. Exodus.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and give it a C. I mean, there's some shining moments. You know, I like the Wyatt versus Shield stuff that's going on and things like that. But, you know, I like the Taker-Brock feud that's trying to come up here. But, yeah, C.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and give it a B just because I think they're getting better. They're in a transition right now. They're looking for someone to buy them. They're looking for someone to buy the rights to the Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. And I think they're really holding off on a lot of stuff. And I don't think that this WrestleMania is going to be the best WrestleMania in the world. But I don't think it's going to be the worst either. There's definitely been worse WrestleManias out there. So I would have to give it a B. The Wyatt's Shield brings it up. Cena still going strong. You know, you can't fight that guy. He's still awesome. Is it the best? No. Is it the worst? No. All right. So we got a game. So Matt actually brought this game up. So I'm going to give you guys a person. You tell me in one word what you think. So Matt, we're going to go with you first. I'm going to give you a couple of them in a row. About three or four, maybe. And then we're going to go to X, and then maybe we'll go back to you for another one. All right, Matt. Cesaro, one word. What do you think?
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Triple H.
Historical.
Randy Orton.
Still young.
That's okay, two words.
One word.
That's two words. And he's got gray in his beard. He's not still young. One word. Randy Orton.
You just said Randy Orton.
One word. Randy Orton.
Oh. Underrated.
All right. Exodus. Daniel Bryan, one word.
Joke.
Cena, one word.
I'm trying to make sure that I don't use the word phenomenal again. Cena, one word, dynamic.
Okay. Roman Reigns.
That's why do I suck at this game? Future,
okay. Matt, Bray Wyatt.
Diabolical.
Diabolical?
Yeah, diabolical. That's one word, yeah. That's a lot of syllables.
I was just thinking about it. All right, and last one for Exodus. Sting, one word.
Old.
What'd you say? Old?
Yeah.
Old. Old. Okay, Exodus gets 5 points for old. Yeah. All right, so Exodus is in the lead with 5 points. We'll have a new game next week. All right, if you guys want to follow Exodus, it's X-E-D-U-S 4JC on Twitter. I am DSJNP on Twitter, Facebook/DSJNP. It's DSJNP.com @gmail.com. And coming soon, it's DSJNP.com. You can also check out the All Wrestling Review podcast. You're hearing me, TI peeps. I'm promoting you. Help me out here. All right, guys, this is the week of our wrestling podcast. I want to wish you guys good luck and for the week, and I hope you guys come back with us next week. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Exodus. You guys have a great week.
Thank you.